Few citizens are anticipating the presidency of George W. Bush quite as much as anti-abortion activists. Foes of this procedure are looking forward to having a friend and ally in the White House for the first time in 8 years, and they are expecting quick action. But as NPR's Julie Rovner reports, the abortion issue may not be as simple for the new president to navigate as some people seem to think.
It's a quirk of the calendar that the anniversary of the landmark abortion case, Roe v. Wade, comes just 2 days after Inauguration Day. 8 years ago, newly installed President Clinton used the anniversary to sweep aside a raft of abortion restrictions imposed by his predecessors.
We must let medicine and science proceed unencumbered by anti-abortion politics.
And next Monday, abortion opponents are anticipating that President George W. Bush, who ran on a strongly anti-abortion platform, even if he rarely discussed the issue, will use the anniversary to put at least some of those policies back.
I think there is a certain expectation in that area.
Gary Bauer ran against Bush for the Republican nomination and now heads the Campaign for Working Families. He says he'd be surprised if the new president doesn't act quickly on abortion.
The average Republican voter is pro-life, and it would be odd indeed for George Bush to take office and not try to do as many things as he can right out of the box on issues like this.
But other Republicans think the new president will not take on abortion right away. Connecticut Congresswoman Nancy Johnson, a leading abortion rights Republican in the House, is one of them.
His focus to this point has been very clearly and very aggressively at uniting, at getting very qualified people who can work with everyone. And I'd be very surprised, therefore, if his actions as president in terms of his own individual power to take administrative action focused on things that would divide.
John Green, a political science professor at the University of Akron, says that division of opinion within his own party leaves Bush in a perilous political situation. On the one hand, says Green, Bush needs to show social conservatives that he will keep his word and take substantive action to restrict abortion.
But on the other hand, he doesn't want to enrage the more moderate element of the Republican Party, let alone other people in the country, by making abortion one of the central policies that he addresses when he enters the White House.
One abortion-related issue Bush must address early on is the so-called Mexico City policy. It bars U.S. aid to international family planning groups that use their own funds to perform or advocate for abortion. President Clinton repealed the policy back in 1993, but he and the Republican Congress, which wants it restored, have been wrestling over it for the past 5 years. The compromise by which last year's budget got passed left the decision on whether to re-implement the policy to the next president, who must decide by February 15th. Another item Bush could address would be to overturn guidelines issued last year by the National Institutes of Health on research using stem cells from human embryos left over from infertile couples. Much to the distress of anti-abortion groups, NIH ruled that such research could receive federal funds as long as the embryos are not destroyed on government time. But David Garrow, a law professor at Emory University in Atlanta, says even that relatively small act would not be without political peril.
I think it will be very difficult for President Bush to take any policy actions that appear to be anti-health or anti-health research oriented.
The one abortion issue Bush has talked about is a bill to ban a procedure known as partial birth abortion. Here's what he said at the Republican convention last August.
Good people can disagree on this issue, but surely we can agree on ways to value life by promoting adoption, parental notification. And when Congress sends me a bill against partial birth abortion, I will sign it into law.
But even that's not as easy as it would appear. While the federal ban never became law because of repeated vetoes by President Clinton, the Supreme Court last summer struck down a Nebraska law that was nearly identical. Emory law professor Garrow said the Supreme Court's opinion that a ban must include a health exception for women with troubled pregnancies has severely undercut this year's prospects for the measure.
Right to life proponents of partial birth statutes have zero interest in backing a health exception as broad as the Supreme Court now requires.
Garrow, who thinks Bush likely to do less rather than more on the abortion issue, says that abortion opponents may well be pacified by the appointment of one of their heroes, former Senator John Ashcroft, to be Attorney General.
That may be so major a peace offering to abortion opponents within the Republican Party that on policy by policy questions, President Bush will be able to get away with doing very, very little.
Until now, Bush has mostly finessed the abortion issue, talking about valuing the culture of life, but providing few details. But Bauer warns that Bush would do well to remember what happened to the first President Bush when he disappointed conservatives by abandoning his no new taxes pledge. That helped lead to the election of Bill Clinton. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.